back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rarely seen and heard together this offseason. It's Shayna Goldman with Marty Baron and yours truly here on Sabres Live. Shayna, we were welcoming not only you back to the show, but we were welcoming in Montreal as the team of the day today and exhaustively going through their roster before you came on. I don't mean to belabor the Montreal point, but I would love your opinion as to whether they can continue their gradual improvement from 55 to 68 to 76 to who knows what as far as points this year. How do you see Montreal?
Yeah, it's a slow and steady process. And I honestly respect the fact that they committed to it because they are not the team I really thought would. And I think they've done a really good job. And I think that they're taking the right steps because they're going to lean on their own guys, right? We're going to see Nick Suzuki continue to round into form. And he had an outstanding season. Cole Caulfield is adding a little more dimension. And then you have, you know, guys like Slafkovský breaking out. And that's really big. I am really interested to see how their net grows this year because that three goalie system really hurt them. And you saw the second they traded Jake Allen, both Primo and Montembeau really bounce back. So I'm curious how much they can kind of lead the way and be their backbone to help push them forward this year.
So because it's August and in a month from now, training camps are opening and prospect challenges and all of it, one here in Buffalo, I'm seeing a lot of, oh, here's your fantasy prediction for this upcoming season. I saw Juraj Slafkovský at 73 points for this upcoming season. Oh, last year he had 50. 23 points increase would be a lot. But in the second half, he had 35 points in 40 games. I think that's what it was. So I'm thinking, hey, is 70 too much for Slafkovský? Is 73 the right number? Could it be 75 or plus?
Yeah, that's a good question because it does feel like he's going to get that start on the top line. It's his place to lose. We know how good the three of them are together. 73 does feel a little rich at this point, but you know what? I could definitely see high 60s for sure, depending on how much power play opportunity he gets and how much their power play improves as well. You know, he's never going to be the star of, I feel like he's not the star of his line. He's not going to be this year, and that's okay. But I do feel like as long as he keeps progressively improving from where he left off, why not, right? I don't think he's going to be a point per game pace player, and that's totally fine. But the Canadiens are still a top-heavy team that those three are going to be put out in the perfect situations every opportunity the coaches have. So it does bode well for him.
One thing I'll say about Slafkovský is, in hindsight, but it definitely felt this way at the time, he had terrible luck early in the year. He, of all the Canadiens to me, found himself in the difference maker position and couldn't deliver. And then finally it all started to flip in the second half. So I think he does have a huge opportunity here to get.
I believe
well
he missed on a
70.
Wide open shootout, right? He had the
remember
move
that?
And he missed,
yeah.
And then the next time he scored. So it was one of those where it doesn't count to the record, but it was fitting. Like he missed wide open opportunities, but then he got him the second half.
Shayna, we have had amazing breakthrough news in the NHL since you last spoke to this show. Not one, but two offer sheets. How happy are you with this development?
Oh my God, it's about time. It happened. And like 5 minutes later, I got a note like, hey, you want to write about this? Like, yes, I do. This is a rare opportunity. Like, let's have some fun. Do I love the contracts that were offered, right? They have to be overpayments. And I think that we have to keep that in mind. The Holloway one, I think, of course, go for it. You could have pushed higher and I would have been like, hey, go for it. To me, Holloway was one of the best offer sheet candidates this summer. And I know we all think of the big name guys, right? Who's going to try for Lundell and try to pressure the Panthers? But sometimes you have to go for those mid-tier stars and just look for teams in tough situations like the Oilers are. It felt like this perfect opportunity. Now to double down and add a second one, adds another wrench into it that I love. I wouldn't have offered Broberg that deal. I know he doesn't have a ton of NHL experience. There's only so much to go off of. I think it's way over his market value, but it's so intriguing because you look at these two and with Holloway, he's the player I would want to keep if I had to choose between them. And he has the favorable contract, right? But they just got these forward reinforcements from Arvidsson and Skinner and guys like that, right? For their middle six on defense. The plan was, it seems, for Broberg to be one of your starting six and to bring an element of puck moving that they don't have outside of that top pair. So how do you part with that when he has the worst contract? And I think that makes it all the more tricky for the Oilers to handle on a good day. Now throw in the fact that it's Dan Bowman, who I don't think handles cap management very well. And it just makes this entire situation so tough for them to navigate. And say they match both somehow, right? Now you just set yourself up to try to offer sheet Evan Bouchard next year because they're going to be even more crunched for space. And that's exactly what you should be doing. Like, I feel like general managers, I hope this wakes them up and say, we're not friends because we didn't offer one, but two to do everything we could to put the screws to you.
So the rest of the league's got to be happy because if the Oilers are squeezed to retain, then they can look at next year and say, okay, we're going to start the talk with Bouchard early, trying to make that happen. Now,
and you can't have Bouchard talks without Draisaitl.
Yeah, well, exactly. Draisaitl is going to have to sign Bouchard, and then the year after is McDavid. There's $40 million cap space that you got to have for these three players that you're gonna need to find it. Word is out, you know, the rumor mill saying that, well, the Oilers have not decided yet if they're going to retain or let any of those guys walk. They have 7 days, but they're exploring Kulak and Cody Ceci trades because those two together are about what, like $7 million?
Six, I think.
Six and yeah. Some. Mm-hmm. Which one would you feel like is for a team to say, okay, like I suggested to Duffer, if I'm the Buffalo Sabres, I don't think I'm making that, but if I needed a right shot defenseman right now, I would say, okay, we'll take CC on a 1 year at 3.5. Give us a, you know, second round pick. We'll give you a fourth. There, I give you a favor. CC and a second for a fourth. I don't know if Edmonton does that, but is it CC? Is it Kulak? What do you see happening?
If I'm an opposing team, I want Kulak over CC 100%. Okay. And if I'm the Oilers, I'm doing everything to move out CC because your bottom four is either going to be a Nurse CC pairing, which you know doesn't work. Yeah. It got burned all in the regular season, and it got burned 10 times more in the postseason, especially when they threw them into tough minutes that they had no business taking on. Your other solution is splitting them up, and now you have deficiencies on both of your bottom four. So what do you want to do? I think if you're intent on keeping Broberg, and I see the case for that, I would want him with Kulak. That would be the pair to me that could be your second pair in Edmonton. Okay. So I would be doing everything to not lose him. If you can lose CeCe, you lose one of the weights that's been hurting you. And I know he doesn't, like, he's not very expensive and he has the reputation and all of that. And, you know, sometimes it gets overhyped. But when you see his game in those crucial moments, like we did in the postseason, I would have a very hard time holding on to him if I were the Oilers.
What do you think happens? I think St. Louis gets both.
I was going to say, do they sign both? Did they sign one? Did they let them walk? It was going to be the same thing.
Okay. It's tough because Bowman is the monkey wrench in all of this. And I could see him trying to put his foot down and being like, I'm keeping both, which I don't know if is the move either. But I would keep Holloway every day of the week. That contract, he's going to be worth it in half a season, I would say, honestly. It's funny you see some of the reaction like, he's a bottom sixer. He's a young guy. And down the stretch and into the playoffs, he was very good. I think he could be a legit second liner. And then Skinner could be more comfortably on the third line, which is where I think he should be in that lineup. You have a second line of Holloway, Arvidsson, Draisaitl. Like, let them cook. I would love that for Edmonton. So I would sign Holloway. I would let Broberg walk. I know it's going to hurt. But I don't think he's a $4.5 million defenseman this year. And I think that is going to be a backbreaker next year.
And the compensation is a second round pick for Broberg. The Oilers don't have a first or a second rounder next year. They have one third, two fourths, I should say. So, I mean, getting a third rounder for Holloway or trying to recoup one of the second rounder that you don't have now may be the telltale sign there. I guess you guys talked about crazy goalie ideas last week when I wasn't on, like serving your own penalties. I did a little math yesterday. I had 81 penalty minutes. Ron Ekstall almost was a penalty minute per game type of goaltender. I think I would have enjoyed gone to the penalty bench once in a while, but it wasn't that often. Ron probably wouldn't have liked that. Who's your favorite goalie when you consider like somebody that has a little bit of flair? Like, we know that Binnington has flair. Like, he likes to get involved into it. But But I can't say that he's like Ron Hextall was. Like, he doesn't really back it up in the same way that Ron Hextall would have, or Tom Barrasso, or Billy Smith, right?
No, but Bennington won a cup. Hextall didn't.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Hextall got there twice, and I think they got swept both times with the
Flames. No, seven-game loss when he got the Conn Smythe.
That's right, then swept by Detroit that year. So, but who's the one goalie you think has that Billy Smith, Ron Hextall kind of trigger that now could serve his own penalties?
I mean, Bennington's the easy answer for sure. Like, what goaltender gets as angry as he does? That's besides him. Like, it's so tough. Georgiev, I could see. Georgiev's
that's
fiery.
One of them too. Like, I could see Georgiev losing his mind a little bit.
Yeah, Marty, he brings that fire.
Don't you remember? I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure we can here in 2 seconds. Didn't Luukkonen lead all goalies in penalty minutes last year?
Last season? I got it here right now. No, he was fifth with 8. You know who lost his mind a couple of times last year also is John Gibson. He had 12. And Peter Mrazek at 14 penalty minutes last year was the most PIMs for a goaltender. But
like, I think like it's embarrassingly low for the fraternity. Like, yes. Somebody needs to get emotional once in a while.
14 penalty minutes.
And Gibson, who could blame the man? If you were playing behind that defense for as many years as him, I would be, like, turning around and throwing my net. I would be the saltiest of goal. I could never be a goaltender because I could never keep my cool. I would be taking penalties. I'd be swiping people in the shins. I would be talking, saying terrible things. And if I was allowing goals, I would not be good. Through my tennis racket like 8
times
today.
Let's pay attention to this guy next year, Pyotr Kuchetkov. He seems to have a short fuse as well. And he didn't play as many games as the top guys last year, only playing 42 games. But he did have 8 penalty minutes. Jonathan Quick found himself 8 penalty minutes in only 27 games as well. So those are your top. We're in a different era. It's not the same eras as the 90s.
But it's the spice you still want. You want a goalie that cares and is going to go hard, because if you see that, even if they're taking penalty minutes, they're getting mad. You should be fired up with them and for them. Like, you want to go, like, I would be like at the blue line, like, come on, like rallying it up. Even like Fleury's one too, like, because he's not an angry goalie, but he knows how to make others angry. And that is the instigation that I think he adds, that it's an element of fun and fire to a game, too. It's the little things that he does.
Last one for me. Which big RFA gets done within the next week?
None. No, it all of a sudden feels like general managers are, like, clicking again. It's like, okay, everyone's back from the cottages. Let's ride. Uh-huh. So maybe we're going to see some movement. I'm sitting there still going, like, Troy, hello. Right.
Like Lucas Raymond, you're talking
Lucas
about?
Raymond, I think, Sider. Is done first.
Okay. Well, I mean, so who's the next? Are we going to see holdouts in camp? Are we going to see those guys done before? Like Jarvis, I think, still has to sign, and Raymond and those guys, like the big names, are they holding out?
I mean, I don't think so. I feel like Jarvis is going to be the first one to get done, actually. Out of that list, I'm going to say Jarvis gets done first. Because I don't think I could see right now the drama erupting if he didn't. And I know, like, I feel like the Canes don't want that. It's similar to, like, Dubas, like, oh, look, you let the nerd in charge and this is what happened with Nylander. That, like, I feel like the Canes are not going to be in that position. They're just waiting to, I feel like, get their ducks in a row, because Jarvis is going to get paid and he deserves to get paid. Yeah. If they gave him $8 million tomorrow, I'd be like, cool. If they gave him 9, I would even understand it. Like, that is a superstar player. You pay up. So I'm not worried about that. I wonder if anyone's waiting for the Line A dust to settle before making a decision on their RFAs, like how many teams are interested. Cause I still look at Carolina as a team that makes so much sense for him. So maybe that comes into the conversation, maybe not, but I feel like Jarvis is going to get done soon.
Who's your next victim on the court?
I need some practice. I'm rusty. I need some practice because I can serve. It was everything else. And then it's like, as the longer you play, you're like, oh yeah, I remember how to do this, because I haven't played in like months. So I'm like, my racket is the next victim.
Speaking of spicy, yeah, I love that.
See, I want to talk to all your opponents to see what is the go-to move to get Shayna off her game or get her
fired up. It doesn't take much. It's me. I get more mad at me. Like, I'm like, it's like Medvedev, how he's always yelling at himself.
Yeah.
And I'll smash a racket, but I have not yet smashed a racket. I'm not strong enough to smash a racket. So the day I get there is going to be the day I'm happy. Like, I will be happier the day I smash a racket versus just crushing someone and winning by such a great margin.
Well, she always have a bag full of rackets to be able to keep crushing them and then picking the same one out. That is the day you have like all the deals and you get all these rackets, then you can smash a couple of them. So that's good.
Shayna, thank you as always for bringing the passion. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, Sabres Live concludes after this.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.